Father, now as we transition from announcements and musical worship into the ministry of your word, bless these lips as they speak in our hearts. Let it receive with gladness, and our wills would conform or align ourselves with yours, that we would be hearers and doers. In Jesus' name, amen. The last few weeks, we've been talking about things like worship and, you know, where we worship God and how we worship, all that type of stuff. And today, this message is coming from actually one of our Luncheon Scripture readings not too far ago, not in the very recent past. By the way, Jim has been up for 3 days preparing for Luncheon Scripture, so you better come down and, be ready to challenge him with any of your theological questions. Yes, even if you're not reading, come down. We want to just come. Same theme. Just come down and fellowship. Just spend some time together, But anyway, as we had a reading from 1 Kings chapter 8, I would love to read it all and teach it all and to be here for 3 hours and all that stuff, but we don't have that time this morning. But we do have a message from this particular chapter. If you're not familiar with this chapter, in fact, if you are familiar with it but haven't read it recently, please read it again. It's a beautiful chapter. It's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. It's when Solomon is going to dedicate the temple. You remember David wanted to build the temple. God said, "You can't do it, but I'll let your son do it. You can do all the pre-work, but he's going to build it." And Solomon did go out with the help of King Hiram, and with the materials, and he built this temple. And in typical Solomon style, before he even dedicates the temple, he has this huge sacrifice. I mean, so many different animals and all these different things. They bring in the Ark of the Covenant because that represented God's presence, because without God's presence, it's just a building, right? This is just a building, but when we gather in, he said, if two or three are gathered, where is he? In the midst of us. So the ark came in to symbolize his presence, and the priests put the ark there. And then as that is happening, as they're getting ready and doing their work, their priestly work, the cloud, the Shekinah glory of God just fills that place. So much so that they could not work. Solomon begins to speak about that cloud, and he said, 1 Kings 8:12, he says, "Lord, you said you would dwell in a dark cloud. I have indeed built a magnificent temple for you, a place for you to dwell forever." Solomon probably somehow struggled those words out as this is all taking place in the presence of God. And I would pray that when we come together, the presence of God not only is acknowledged amongst us, but we recognize his presence, and that his presence moves within our midst powerfully, within us individually and within us corporately. So they have a benediction and prayers, and all these different things are going on in the tabernacle. The fire comes from heaven, devours the sacrifice, just like it did back in Leviticus when they offered a time under the tabernacle. Just amazing stuff goes on. It's powerful stuff. And then Solomon begins to pray. And he prays for the dedication of the temple, and again offers 22,000 cattle and 120,000 sheep. I mean, Solomon is a man of excess, but he's worshiping God with all this excess. And then they bless the king. They went home, made a joyful noise in their hearts, and all the things for what David wanted to do and what God accomplished through Solomon. God eventually will speak in the next chapter to the people, and talking about the fact that, look, you did all this, but you need to live your lives right. If not, this place will just become an empty vessel, and it will become a byword amongst the people. They will actually hiss at this place about now how God had abandoned it because of the way they lived. But the message today, and that was just a very, very, very brief recap of that chapter in the beginnings of chapter 9. The message today comes from a verse, and that verse is 27. Solomon says this, and actually asks that as a question, verse 27, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven And the heaven of heavens cannot contain you, how much less this temple which I have built. Solomon is acknowledging, and all this wild, beautiful stuff that is going on, the cloud, the presence of God, the fire coming down, all these different things. And Solomon is just, God, will you really dwell here? Will you really dwell here on the earth? Like, God, it doesn't make much sense to me. I mean, you're the God of all creation. The whole universe cannot contain you. You're greater than your creation that you made. And as vast as this universe is, God is greater than all of that. And God, you're going to stay on the earth? Now, we know, theologically, that God isn't confined to any one location. We know that. But the fact that he would choose to manifest his presence in the temple at that time is kind of amazing. He says, so you're going to do this, God? And my question is, when I think of this, is why? Why? Why, God? Why would you humble yourself? Why would you come from this universe and the heavens and all that you created to, if you will, localize, even if it's just, you know, your presence in this place, this temple? And one of the things we have to realize is that God does not want to be some way out there cosmic creator who is disassociated from all of this down here, except to wink at us once in a while and kind of check in and pull back the curtain and say, hey, how are they doing down there? No, he wants to be present amongst us. He wants to be active in our lives. He doesn't want to just visit us occasionally. He wants to share our physical address. And it's kind of interesting because if you look at the temple, and later we're going to be looking in a few moments, the temple of the Holy Spirit, of which we as Christians are, we realize something here, that when God designed this whole thing and created everything, his initial plan from Eden was what? To inhabit us. To be with us. They would walk together. Before the sin came and separated, you know, mankind from God because of our sin, he walked with it. That was his desire. He created us to have fellowship with him, to be with him. That's his longing. God doesn't need anything, but he chose and desired to create us in his image and his likeness and to be with us. Blows my mind. But it's what the Bible says. That's the heart of God. So you have the Eden, you know, model, if you will, God's, you know, and then all of a sudden we destroy it all by our sin, right? Don't ever blame God for the stuff we deal with down here. It's us. We brought it all on. Sin separated us from God. Sin brought death into this world. Our sin. But then God still wanted to dwell with the people, so he did it in such a way. Like he told Moses, you want to see me, but I can't. I turn to the bag, and you'll see the hinder parts of me. God cannot dwell where this sin is, so God gave them, if you will, a safe zone. The temple, it's a safe zone. You know, the tabernacle first, but then the temple, a safe zone where God, through all of the sacrifices and all of the things that God told them they had to do, even to approach the outer parts of the temple, he says, this is where I can dwell, and it's safe for you. But then God gives the temple an upgrade, if you will. Because after Jesus died on the cross to deal with the sin issue once and for all, the veil of that temple that was still in Jerusalem was torn in two from top to bottom to give people, through Jesus Christ, our high priest, access to God. And then God allowed that temple several years later to be destroyed because he was already inhabiting not that temple, but a new temple. And it was the temple of the body of the Christians, of those who have accepted him as Lord and Savior. And now in this church age, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, I won't dwell on this part too much, but I do have to say that as we are the temple of the Holy Spirit now, this is not the final place. When we all get to glory, there is a beautiful, wonderful temple there. And when we get there, we don't have to have him abiding in us. We will be in his presence. Talk about a real upgrade, the eternal city, where he will erase once and for all distance, and we are with our Savior forevermore. So this idea of coming to dwell with people is to, if you will, reverse the Genesis curse that we brought into the world, our sin brought into this world, and then also then to create within, ultimately, the church, a vessel that which he would take his image into the world. And that's what this is all about. You know, the whole concept, and this is, again, where, you know, I'm, for the sake of the message today, I don't want to get bogged down in too many details. Again, this would be a great Bible study for another time, which I have taught years ago. But you know, the idea is even the structure of the temple mirrors, if you will, a foreshadowing of the human body, and that would be the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, the idea of the outer court. You know, the outer court is like the physical body. The holy place is like the will and the emotions, our soulish realm. And then the Holy of Holies would be that place of the Spirit that comes alive when we're born again. But the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, this idea of how he had the temple in the same way, you know. But there's something else about it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, we'll look at very quickly, says this: "And the very God of peace," now he's speaking to Christians, "sanctify you." Now, Solomon was just sanctifying the temple in that chapter, you know, dedicating it, blessing it, sanctifying, getting ready for the presence of God. Paul is telling us, the church, these bodies, he says that the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're focusing this morning on the temple of the Holy Spirit, of which those of us who have been born again are. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever thought about God dwelling within you? Do you really ever think about it? Do you really consider the fact that when you became a child of God and your sins were forgiven, when you repented and received the blood of Jesus Christ to wash your sin away and the Holy Spirit came to within you, at that moment the Holy God came to be within you? Do you really think of that often? I'm going to say not as often as you should. Not as often as we should. And if we would contemplate that more, as I believe we really should, then we would begin to ask ourselves another question. Of all the different aspects of the temple, body, soul, and spirit, which one do I take the most time maintaining? And if we're being honest, we'll say, the body. Gotta keep this body going good. You know, slap on some creams. Eat a good diet. Exercise. Pluck and color and shave and whatever else we do. We spend a lot of time maintaining the outer physical court, don't we? No matter how much you maintain it, it's drying up. It's getting wrinkled. Yeah, I know. Even some of you younger people out there, you think that, oh yeah, it's coming. It's coming. It's a temporary tent, but we spend so much time on the outer body, less time on the emotional realm. But we do that too. We take my mental well-being. I got to take care of that. I have to make sure that I'm okay. My anxieties and fears and my depression and this and that and my. You know, that's the next thing we take a lot of care of. And then last on the list for most Christians is the spiritual realm. The Holy Spirit living within us, manifesting his presence to our spirit, the human spirit, if you will. Not the soulish realm, the spirit that came alive when we were born again, which the Holy Spirit now works within us. See, it's interesting. 1 Corinthians, many of us know this. Colin's going to put up on the screen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. When Paul is talking about keeping the body pure sexually, he says this, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?" Listen. "Who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are..." Say that. No, say it out loud. "Not your own." Hey, this side said it. This side didn't. Say it again. "And you are not your own." Well, whose are we? We're His. And it's interesting. There's a couple of Greek words. There's probably more, but there's two main Greek words for this idea of this temple. And the one word for temple is a word that it's hieron. It's pronounced. And it's talking about like the entire campus structure of a temple, whether it's, you know, the temple of Jerusalem or whether it's just a, you know, temple that people built for other reasons. It's called Hieron, and this is the idea, is this whole big structure. Well, guess what? When Paul uses this term here in any other place that talks about the temple of the Holy Spirit, it never uses that term. It uses a different Greek word, and that different Greek word is a Greek word called naos, and that Greek naos is what that describes is the actual holy place. The dwelling place of God. So when you think about your body as the temple of the Holy Spirit, don't think about it as the structure, the way Paul talks about it. He says, no, I want you to understand, you are the Holy of Holies. Do you understand that? We spend so much time with the other stuff, but he says, no, understand, you are the dwelling place of God. You are the Holy of Holies. Do you remember in the other temple, once that ark went into the Holy of Holies, that's where they put the ark, the presence of God, right? They put it in there. People didn't really ever see it again. The high priest would go in once a year and had to make great preparation just to get in there. But we are that temple of the Holy of Holies, the temple, the dwelling place of God, and we are not our own. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2 that we have been purchased. Actually, he says first in 1 Peter 2, we're living stones. In other words, that collectively, the body of Christ, all of us together are part of the body, but then each of us individually, you know, Paul in first, I'm not getting all these scriptures, but in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, he talks about we all together as the temple, of which we are, but he says in you individually, we all are the naos. We all are the Holy of Holies. And we have been purchased with the price of the blood of Jesus Christ. We are not our own. We're His. Jesus tore the veil of the temple. His presence then began to indwell within the believer. He allowed, if you will, then later in history, that temple, that building place, to eventually be destroyed, not one stone left upon another. And he allowed the church, or he showed the church, that you need to go out all into the world because people aren't going to have to come here to get experience my presence. You go into the world and you show my presence. You show this dwelling place of God. And how many times are we so preoccupied with this that we're not letting the presence of God shine through? I have to remind you, as I like to do always, I get beat up with these messages before I say them to you. I'm not sitting here pontificating, "Oh, Joe's got it, he's the Holy of Holies." No, I am, but I'm not. I struggle like you do. We struggle together in this. How do we present ourselves to people? How do we appear before people? How do we look before people? Wait, how are we shining the light of Christ? How are we showing His presence into the world? See, and the idea of coming together as we do is to help one another to grow, to become more like Jesus as we work together, as we, the separate lively stones, come together to worship together, to encourage one another, to walk this walk together, pray for one another, to fellowship, all those different things. And you know what happens is, in that body collectively, of which we are all individually part of the body of Christ, isolation, staying away from church, you know what that does? That weakens the very structure. But then the divisions that come amongst us, they have the tendency to destroy it. Now, I know we can never destroy the temple of the Holy Spirit, but we can destroy the fellowship so much that we can really have this place where all of a sudden now the church is not doing the work it's supposed to do because of infighting and stupid stuff like that. We are the naos. We are the temple. And we have to not only treat these bodies in such a way to honor God, but we have to make sure we work together as one another so that we collectively as well as individually represent God into this world. You know, I can get into today, which I don't have the time to talk about, even the elements of each one of the high priests or all the priests as they wore as they did their temple work can coincide very easily with the Ephesians, you know, when we put on the armor of God, the different ways that we dress ourselves. But here's the whole idea. If we are now the temple of the Holy Spirit, if we are, again, to represent God to this world, are we doing the best job that we can? See, Solomon went through great lengths to dedicate that temple. God accepted all of that. His presence came amongst them mightily. But God warned them, if you don't keep it up, I'm going to leave. And he did. Now, it's wonderful to know that God will never leave us. That's true. But at the same time, if we don't keep it up, we can get to a point where we do not represent him well, and it's almost by grieving the Spirit of God or quenching the Spirit of God, it's almost as if he's not within us. Because we can become very, 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 very fleshly. And we can show every aspect except the aspect of a child of the Most High God. So how are we maintaining these vessels? You know, the early church, a lot of the early church writers, they spent a lot of time reminding the church that just this thing we're talking about this morning, you are the naos, you are the holy of holies, you are the temple of God. Make sure you live that way. Yes, keep yourself pure, you know, sexually and other ways, externally. Yes, do all of that. But that's an external thing of what's actually going on within your heart. Make sure your hearts are right. Make sure your motives are pure. Make sure your desire is, Lord, it's no longer I that live, but you that live in and through me. And when we have that mindset, we then from the inside begin to live on the outside differently. Not the other way around. The external rituals can't do anything to change the inside. But what is it within us, the Holy Spirit of God, and our desire to say, Lord, I want to be more like you, will change the external ways we live. One of the early writers said, the temple is a magnificent house built for the glory of God. The Christian, then, is the divine image, sanctified in body and soul. He treats his body as a sacred shrine. They go on to talk about things and say that, you know, the bodies itself is there. God gave us. Yes, treat your bodies well. It's a gift from God. But make sure that internally, inside, you are living for him in such a way so that worship was then redefined as not just the outward expression, right? But an inward, constant state of surrender unto the Holy Spirit living within us. So external holiness starts with internal holiness. So you're not his when you go to church, and we don't just go to church to say we had church today. We don't, if you will, visit the temple. We are the temple. So I'm just going to read this as we pull this all together and close in just a moment and come before the Lord's table. 1 Kings chapter 9, I'm just going to read parts of it. Colin will kind of follow me a little bit. As for you, verse 9, if you walk before me faithfully with integrity of heart and uprightness as David your father did, I will establish, I'm skipping around, your royal throne over Israel forever. Again, I'm skipping again. But if you and your descendants turn away from me, then I will cut off Israel from the land I have given them and will reject this temple I have consecrated in my name. Unfortunately, that's what ended up happening. The people lived in such a way so contrary to God and his ways that God eventually abandoned that temple and allowed it to be taken over and destroyed. But we are called to honor God with our bodies. We are called to know that we have been purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ and that our temples are the naos, if you will. These bodies are the naos of God, the Holy of Holies. And we are not meant to simply convey this idea of the Spirit, you know, just inhabiting us. But no, the Spirit living in us powerfully and through us. Because he saved you, he indwells within you. But as he indwells within you, the idea is that we would show forth his glory. So how we behave, think, speak, what we let into the temple through our eyes and through the ears becomes very important. And even though he'll never leave us, it is possible for us to grieve him, and that's what we never want to do. Paul said to the church in Ephesians, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. He told them to get rid of all rage and bitterness and anger and brawling and slander and every other form of malice. He said, but instead of all those things, be compassionate to one another, be kind to one another, forgive one another, just as Christ Jesus forgave us. The way that we live personally and the way that we live together helps us to strengthen this idea that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if we live by the Spirit, we won't gratify the desires of our sinful flesh. I'm going to read just one other portion again. 1 Kings 9 again. But if you or your sons all turn from me, I'm going to pick up where I left off a little bit, and do not keep my commandments and my statutes which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them. And this house which I have consecrated for my name, I will cast out of my sight. Israel will be a proverb and a byword amongst all the people. And as for this house which is exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished and will hiss and say, why has God done this to the land and to this house? Then they will answer, because they forsook the Lord their God who brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt and have embraced other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore the Lord has brought all this calamity on them. Church, let's recognize and think about on a daily basis and meditate on a daily basis that we can look back and point the finger at that temple and say, see, God gave them everything and they got it all wrong. They didn't follow him. Or we could look in the mirror of God's word and look into our own hearts and say, Lord, am I, as the temple of the Holy Spirit, living in such a way that it's pleasing you, or in a way that you want to, if you will, leave me? Now, we already established that he won't do that. But do you want to be in that place of where God would be so grieved with our conduct and our lives that he would want to just pull up and leave, and that nobody sees any presence of God? Jesus said it this way. He says, we are called to be salt and light. We're here to retard the evil that's in this world and to preserve the things that are good in this world. We're here to be the light to the world, God's light to this world, Jesus' light to the world. This idea that we show his light to a darkened world, that there is a way of salvation, a way of hope, a right way to live. But if we are putting bushels over that light, or we are making that salt not have saltiness anymore, then Jesus said it's not worth anything but to be thrown out and trampled under the foot of men. So this message this morning is, one, on one hand, yes, think about, acknowledge, meditate upon the fact that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God, that he lives within the believer completely, that we are no really longer our own. We've been bought with the price of the blood of Jesus Christ. And then we have to make that hard Holy Spirit driven desire within our heart to say, Father, search me and know me. And am I living for you as the temple of God? Am I glorifying you with my life? Am I spending much more time just taking care of the outer courts? Or, Lord, am I making sure I'm taking care of the inner courts? Am I doing a job where you feel at home here within me? And that I am doing my part amongst the other lively stones of which we're all part of to keep the fellowship and keep the harmony and to pray for one another, that we would collectively be the body of Christ. That we then, when we leave this sanctuary of this church building that we've come to be here in a special way in your presence, we can go out from here to a world that desperately needs to see Jesus. And the only way in this church age that they're really going to see him is as they look at us, the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. I want to be salty. I want to have his light shine through me. I need to catch myself and to make sure that I'm always being that vessel that's ready for that. But the most important thing that I want you to get from this message is that you need to start somewhere. I don't know where everybody here stands in their relationship to God, but I will tell you this. He created you because he loves you, and his desire is to be with you, not just to visit you occasionally, but to dwell with you. But God, because of our sin, your sin, my sin, because of that sin, cannot, he cannot dwell where sin abides. So you must deal with the sin issue before you deal with anything else. You must acknowledge your own sin, of which we all have. Every human being has sinned. But you have to acknowledge the fact that God still loves you and he wants to come to live within you, but you got to deal with the sin issue first. So you need to acknowledge it, accept it, and then turn from it. I don't want it anymore. I'm tired of being separated from you, God. It's amazing that you love me, and it's amazing that you want to dwell. God of all creation wants to dwell in me. So, Lord, I'm asking you to wash my sin away with the blood that you shed upon the cross. I'm accepting your forgiveness. Cleanse me, wash me in a greater way than Solomon could ever do in the dedication of the original temple. Wash me clean by your precious blood. And then, Father, as you have washed me and cleansed me, come to live within me. Come now. Come to live within me and help me to live for you. Every day, let me learn how to maintain this temple properly in such a way that your glory will be shown as I live this life, that I truly would begin to decrease and you truly will increase within me, that I may glorify you and show others your glory. See, as we come to the table now, I'm going to ask our brothers to come forward. We're going to ask you guys to come up to receive the elements, but I want you to think about this. Think about being the temple, the naos, and think about how you are doing in maintaining that temple. And this is the time to get those things dealt with. If you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can do that right now by faith. If you do so by faith and you accept him in your life and in your heart, he will come to dwell within you. But if he already has, now is the time to do some inventory as we come to the table. Because remember, Jesus said that when he came to the table, that when he sat at the table with them, he desired to do this and eat this amongst them. But he said that one day we're going to eat this meal together in paradise. I want to make sure that we're all there. And I want to make sure that every person, that Robert said earlier, that we are the key, if you will, to fit the lock of those that need to know about Jesus Christ, that we are living in such a way that God would say, yeah, there's that key. Speak to that one. Speak to this one. Because then you will see me in them. And you can come to fellowship with me for all eternity. Father, thank you for your word. And now as we come to the table, Lord, let us acknowledge that it's greater than the elements. Father, thank you for the body that was broken. Thank you for the blood that was shed. But now as we come and accept these elements and come back and take them together, let us, I pray, search our hearts and minds. First and foremost, are we saved? Have we been born again? And if we are, Lord, help us to truly live out our destinies on this earth as the temple, the holy of holies of the Holy Spirit. Lord, search our hearts and minds. And if there's any wicked way within us, any way that we're not living as we should, Father, let us see it. And I pray as we repent of it, that Lord God, you by your Holy Spirit would help us to live appropriately for your glory, for the salvation of many souls. In Jesus' name.